You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out JMBullion.com today. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Enjoy the show. You mentioned glyphosate at the very beginning of the show and Roundup. California now has to label that as a carcinogen. And that's great, but it's your neighbor spraying it on his lawn, and if you're on a well, that's trickling down and going into your well and going into your water, and you didn't get any warning for that, even if you happen to live in California, which you know, I guess that's the one, that would be the one good thing about living in California. So there's plenty of other bad stuff that I'm still not going to live there, but
I wouldn't want to live there either. So,
but
I did live there for a while, but moved.
But you know, we can't give them credit for when credit's due, and I think that's probably a step in the right direction.
Using it at all? That's what we have to look at ourselves and go,
yeah,
why are we using it? I was traveling, because you know I'm traveling all over the U.S. right now. And I was just at a person's home, and they had a beautiful garden. And guess what they sprayed for weeds on their grass?
Roundup.
Right by their gorgeous garden.
Roundup.
Yeah, Roundup. I'm like, okay, well, I wouldn't need any of that food. You know, and yet how many people do that? And if you're trying to grow a garden, and you know, what sort of fertilizer are you putting on there? Are you putting on a natural fertilizer? Are you putting on a chemical-laced fertilizer that's going to help it grow great? But now what are you consuming? See, we don't think about these things. And there are people out there who go, oh, well, that's just too much work. Well, I want to be strong and healthy. And I want to be, if there truly is going to be, you know, if there was ever a huge chemical or biological attack, I want to be in the best shape of and best health I can possibly be in before it would happen. And I can't be it that way if I'm consuming all the things that are weakening my body. So I'm not going to spray it on my food, because I'm going to eat that food that I'm doing. So you have to go natural if you're going to. And I mean, worm castings are so easy to do and buy. And yet it does a phenomenal job at, you know, helping your food to grow. We have a grape orchard, and our grapevines, oh my goodness, we put that worm casting on there, and they're doing phenomenal this year. So we use it, and that's what we use in our garden. But when your soil is a good soil, you won't get all the bugs and everything else. And worm castings help you with that, you know, because when your plant is healthy, it can fight off all the other bugs and stuff. And the worm casting also helps repel bugs, so that there's an odor to the bug and they don't like that. But for humans, I mean, it's just like dry dirt and there isn't an odor that goes with it. So, and you can get a really good crop, but why do we have to spray it with all this stuff? And I just don't think people think about it. You know, if you have people who are sick in your family, start paying attention to what you're doing. What are you consuming? Are you one of the people, you know, that are greatly affected and you didn't even realize where it was coming from? You go to the doctor and they're like, well, you have this disease. And you're like, oh, okay, well, now what do I do? And so then they're going to give you medicine and you're going to be taking that. But did you look at the medicine you're consuming? What's in it? You know, I mean, looking at your water, looking at it all. And so I was excited, like I said, about doing this because I wanted to have people think outside the box. All the shortcuts in life that we have that people overseas don't have, was it our Trojan horse? You know, are we making ourselves sicker and weaker slowly because what has been made to look awesome and beautiful and save you time, is that really making it worse for us? My answer would be yes, it is. But that's an answer or a question people have to ask themselves and then, you know, predetermine. But if you're trying to prepare and you're concerned about the biological or chemical, then be realistic and look at the daily attack, not just that one-time event.
And do you have some recommendations for us? What do you recommend for like a house water filter? Do you think a reverse osmosis system, you think that's good?
You know what? Well, we use a Berkey, and we also are testing out another unit right now. And so until we have tested it for a year, we don't share it, because if it proves not to do what they're claiming it will do, then we've misguided people. So right now we use Berkey. But one thing I want to share with people is some places, you know, if they want to look up research, you know, I might have just said, okay, here's all this stuff. But now their job is to start doing out some research. And so you've heard of Dr. McCullough, haven't you? Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Dr. McCullough or not? Okay, so Dr. McCullough, it's M-E-R-C-O-L-A. He does a lot of research, and he puts out lots of information on things like fluoride or the glyphosate, all the other stuff. He's kind of like a watchdog. And so he just, great resources that a person can go to. There's also Ty Bollinger. Ty Bollinger put out a series on the truth about cancer, which is an eye-opener for anybody. They really should look that up and watch that documentary. He also did one on the truth about vaccines. And what he does is he has medical doctors that will talk about it, good and bad. And, you know, what is it, so that people can start seeing what it is that they're injecting into themselves or their children to determine, you know what, do we want formaldehyde? Okay, do we want mercury? Do we want these other things? And you got to weigh the pros and cons to that. Okay, and, you know, are you going to get an injection? Are you going to take a drug? Do you have more benefit from it than negative from it? You know, and so he has, you know, really good information as well. There's also a site called naturalhealinginaction.com. You know, that's a good friend of mine. I've come to know her over the last 20 years, and she puts out some really good information as well. But, you know, you just start doing your research to do it. Now, for a filter, yes, we go ahead and we use a Berkey filter. We also have a filter that we're testing out for the water that would run through our showers and stuff. You know, so that we may not be able to cut everything out, but if we can reduce it, that's less bad that we're putting into our body. We don't eat, or we eat very little GMO food. Most of our food, we'll go to the store and we look for non-GMO. We don't do dyes. You know, we look for the food that don't have dyes. So it's a rare occasion, but you can get healthy dyes if you want to make a cake. You can get healthy dyes. When we grow our own food, we use our compost. We use our soil. We use, you know, worm castings. You know, we use our things, so we know what's in there. We don't spray anything. In fact, we have weeds in our grass that are actually good for you. And we've come to learn the weeds that are good, because in disaster time, you know, people might come in and break into your home and steal your stuff. But if you plant produce that looks like weeds that are highly nutritious, then you still have stuff to eat that they didn't even have a clue. And they just walk by that. So that's one of the things I teach too, is trying to teach people, you know, plant the things most people will think are weeds. Have your garden, plant the things that look like weeds but are highly nutritious, so that if people come in and they steal or, you know, take everything from your garden, you you can still go on, okay? Because I still have a whole bunch of food they didn't take. And a lot of the stuff they didn't take will be more nutritious than the stuff they did take.
Sweet potatoes are great for that. They basically look like a vine just growing. And anybody that's not familiar with the vine is not going to know what it is. And most looters, you know, I can't remember who the guy was, but there was a guy that did he went to West Virginia back maybe five or six years ago and did a program on the food in the school system and how much kids knew about food. And nobody I guess it was like a third or fourth grade classroom, not one kid in there could identify that ketchup came from tomatoes. They couldn't even tell him what a tomato was. And I'm thinking this is West Virginia. Most of these people, I thought probably everybody has a garden in a state like that. And none of them did. And they didn't know, they had no idea what went into a chicken McNugget. And it was really amazing.
What is wrong with our school systems? Okay, that is such a failure on the school system. Now, it's also a failure on the part of the parent. But, you know, you would think that somewhere in school, I know when I was going to school, we were taught what a tomato looked like. You know what I'm saying? But we were also out there planting gardens. You know, but what is wrong that a child doesn't know what's in a chicken nugget? Most adults probably don't know what's in a chicken nugget either, because it's usually not just chicken.
Yeah, you wouldn't eat it if you knew what was in it.
No, you wouldn't eat it. If you ever look for the ingredients in a chicken nugget, the first time I read the ingredients of a chicken nugget was the last time I ever ate a chicken nugget. You know, because I couldn't, if I can't pronounce it, I don't want to eat it. I'm like, you know, chicken should be chicken. And if you have a breading, it should be breading and some egg and some milk and some, not all these chemicals that I can't even pronounce and I don't know what they're for. But that's just, you know, we have become very complacent and very acceptant of that. We do the fast food restaurants and we are consuming lots of chemicals. So we have a standing joke, and all the people who know me, especially in our household. I love my husband dearly, and I'm trying to get him to live longer because of the food he eats. So he is changing his diet. But I would walk with him, and I go, seriously, honey, you don't want to eat that because that's nothing but chemicals on a chemical bun. Okay? And he's like, is there nothing that's not chemical? You know, and so he would start pointing out things. And I'm like, well, that is less chemicals if you want to eat that. And, you know, and so, I mean, we just don't pay attention to it. We consume so much chemicals in a single day as an American population. And we wonder why so many people have cancer or so many people have disease or so many people kidneys are failing or so many people have heart disease or skin irritation. You know, look at the skyrocket in skin cancer. You know, why is that? We have to look and go, what is it that we're putting on our skin? Is that contributing to it? You know, but we as a population do not, in America, we don't think about it. So I was followed by Sky News. They were doing a documentary. Sky News is out of England. And they asked me if they could follow me for their documentary and videotape and stuff. And I said, sure. Well, when the camera wasn't rolling, we did this for 3 days. On the second day, the cameraman had turned off the camera and we turned off the mics. And he looked at me and he said, what is wrong with all you people? And I'm like, what? He goes, I listen to your TV commercials. Why do you take all those drugs? He's like, they kill you. And I'm like, well, that's why I'm out here trying to teach the people what I'm teaching them to give them another option. And, but you know, this was a foreigner coming into our country who watched our TV commercials, who thought we were all crazy because after listening to the commercial, he's like, I would never take that, but we do every single day. We as American population eat, consume, drink, all kinds of things that people not from this country would never do. Why? What are we doing to ourselves, and why are we doing that? And should we reevaluate what we're doing in order to make this a safer place for everybody?
You know, if we're expecting our first child within the next couple of weeks, and
congratulations! Okay,
yeah, thank you. And we started researching on different options for birth, and we watched a video called "The Business of," I think it was "The Business of Being Born," I think is what it was, and there's really some telling stuff in there. And when you look at the C-section rates for a midwife as compared to a standard hospital birth, it's staggering. Our midwife, because we're gonna do a home birth, and we're gonna do a midwife, and you know, and they're very prepared, very knowledgeable, very well educated people. So it's not like, you know, just going out behind the barn and letting nature take its course. It's not like that at
right.
all. But right. the midwife's C-section rates are 5%, and our county. In the hospital births, the C-section rate is 42%.
And yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and we went to have lunch with another couple from the church that we used to attend when we lived in Fort Lauderdale last week, and they just had a baby 2 years ago, and the lady was telling us about her experience, and she started having her contractions. She went to the hospital. They said, "Oh, well, you're not dilated enough. Go home." They sent her back home. Then the contractions got worse. She went back to the hospital. Still not dilated enough. Go home. They sent her home two times. She had to go back for the third time to the hospital. So you can just imagine all the extra. It's a stressful enough event as it is. Without having to commute back and forth to the hospital three times. And that just shows the lack of concern that we have for human beings. I think that we started losing our humanity when we decided 40 years ago that a fetus wasn't actually a person. And I think that our entire species started losing our humanity at that point in this country. And, you know, once we no longer valued the life of the unborn, I think little by little, we've come to value the life of those that are born, less and less. And,
you know, hearing your friend's situation, I went through the same thing. I was sent home three times, 45-minute drive each way. And the last time I drove my husband was in the military. I drove myself to the hospital. I was in hard labor. They ended up having to take my child C-section, but it was simply because 38 hours into it, I just couldn't deliver. I was so exhausted and needed some assistance. But, you know, what would have happened if they hadn't kept driving? I was driving myself back and forth, 45 minutes each way. You know, and that was, and I look at women who have children now, and they're out of the hospital in like 24 hours or 23 hours. That is not, when my mom had children, she was in the hospital 5 to 7 days, and she delivered them naturally. You know, your body goes through a lot when you have a child, but now we just, you know what, there isn't a lot of thought or care that's put into them. And it almost is like an assembly line, for women, these days going in to have babies. And, if I were to have children all over again, I would be looking for a midwife to do it at home. You know, because it is less traumatic. I've had other people who have done they, you know, just have a midwife come, and they just sit there, and the midwives are awesome, and they're well-trained. And if there is a problem, they know, get help. But you're right. I think with the whole abortion, babies are nothing anymore until after they're born. It does. Just the way we look at human life, and just kind of goes downhill, you know. And you even see it now. Look at, you know, look at these people who just go up and just, I was watching on the news, and a teenager went up, and this elderly man is walking with a walker, and he starts beating this, like, 90-year-old man with a walker who's going down the street. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you're kidding me. The lack of humanity. What happened? How did we get there? And so it's not just, you know, just not just with babies and unborn fetuses now, but even just human people of any age. There are just people who do not put any value on their life, and we'll take them out. You know, look at how, at what age do we tell an older person, you know what, you don't need medical care anymore, you can just die. You know, people are doing that. Yeah. You know, to me, life is a life until they have stopped breathing. And for a fetus, a life is a life at the beginning of conception. I mean, that's a life. It's growing into a human being, and it may not be a full human being yet, but it's almost there. You know, so you're right. So, I sympathize for your friend. I absolutely know what that was like, but I mention that simply because it's not uncommon. And so what you're doing for your wife, and what you and your wife have chosen to do using a midwife at home, I think it's awesome, because there will be much more, it will be less stressful, and certainly a lot more compassion. When I went into the hospital, I actually had front labor, back labor, and leg labor, and I never heard of such a thing. The doctor laughed at me, and he said, oh, wow, you got a triple whammy. Good luck with that one. Okay, I mean, is that compassion? I'm a young military wife, and the doctor's laughing at the pain I'm in, because I happen to be one of those people who are fortunate enough to have not only, you know, front labor, back labor, but I had leg labor as well. And he's laughing. That's not compassion. What has happened to us as a society? We have to look at and go, how do we change that? Because in a disaster area, I have seen the best of people and by far the worst. I have seen pure evil. And it's not something you want, but it is something you have to prepare for, because you may be faced with that one day.
Very, very good stuff. You've given us some great stuff to think about, Eve. You've got a lot of nice natural options that you offer on your website. Can you talk a little bit about those and just tell folks where they can go to find them?
Sure. Yeah, we have, well, we, as you know, we promote homeopathy. Homeopathy is a drug in the United States of America. It is in the United States Pharmacopoeia. But you won't read anything usually good about it, because, you know, if you've got a natural drug, that you can get better with, why do you have to take something else? So we can no longer say cure or heal. That did come down. If you're a natural alternative anything, you can't say cured or healed. So we can say it helps improve or it supports, but basically, if you look at the history, if they go to my website at www.tradingpostinthewoods.com, I have all sorts of videos on homeopathy. One of them is the history of homeopathy in the United States. It's an eye-opener. So we have things, whether it doesn't matter if you have nausea or diarrhea, a cold or sinus issue, if you have stress, if you have inflammation, we have all of that. What's important is start reading the information about what it truly is. You know, how does it truly help you? But don't go online and start looking at sites from, you know, whether it's a pharmaceutical or the AMA or the government, you know, because you probably won't learn the truth about what it is. So you have to search out the history and see the great success that other countries, it's part of their national health care. And in India, there's a great video in India where they had a massive epidemic, and all the doctors had to give out the homeopathic remedy, and they were able to halt the epidemic. So there has to be, it's a viable form of health care in other countries, but in America, it is not deemed a viable form of health care. And you, again, have to ask yourself, why is it not? Okay, so they can go online and they can look at the different remedies we have. Now, we don't cook them up in our house. A lot of people go, do you make that in your kitchen? No, homeopathy is deemed a drug, and so it has to be produced in a manufacturing plant that follows the guidelines of the FDA. They have inspections, so they have to have a room that only certain people can go in, and they're disinfected before they can go in there. And so they have really strict guidelines they have to follow. So the stuff you see on our site, we cannot produce it. It has to be produced for us. And so we hire a manufacturing plant to do it all for us, and then we put it out there. But they can go online and they can look at it. And basically, the United States government has pulled 440 different remedies off the market that are now by prescription only. The ones that we sell are still considered over-the-counter. Most people only need over-the-counter. They don't need a prescription for it. But if they needed something that would require a prescription, we can go ahead and set them up that way as well, so that they can go ahead and get the natural form of it in prescription dosage. It's just more potent than the over-the-counter homeopathic. And it's a great way. It's our first choice. Our first choice is to use the homeopathics. And that's what we've been doing 20, 30 plus years now. So, but they can find all that, and they can read on each one online on our website, and it talks about each one that's there, and learn more about what homeopathy is.
Thanks for making time for us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
ReadyMade Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit ReadyMade Resources to get your PVS-30 today.